Let's do it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh, no. The Empowerment Hour. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rowan, and the crew coming to you live. We got a great show for you today. It's called Recapturing the African Mind Series, Culture and Education. It's a good one. Call your friends. Tell them to stop by. Let's go, y'all. Come on with me now. There's no better love. Oh, yeah. Welcome, 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 welcome one, welcome all to the Empowerment Network. It's Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's the Empowerment Hour. And again, we're dead in the midst of the Recapturing the African Mind series, right? And so we're focusing on culture and education, and we're looking at how to build an organization, right? How to build community organization. So we're going to talk about that with Brother Malik Lee and Brother Raphael today. But first, as always, it's the tenets of the NAAEA. You're always welcome to join us anytime. You can become a member today. Doesn't cost you anything but effort, right? Simply trying to improve your communities wherever you are. So let's go to the tenets. It's the peace concept. The peace concept. We need peace in our communities. We need peace within ourselves. So here it goes. The P is politics. Wherever we are, African Americans, we need a political agenda. That political agenda must speak to our needs, right? Wherever we are, dealing with the political system and our needs on how we can become better, how we can become astute at politics, learning the political system, whether that's locally, nationally, or internationally, but wherever you are, if you're in a town, you need to learn the town politics and how that can benefit your communities and how that can bring resources into the community that will assist you and your children. We need to build stronger communities for our children. Next is economics. You need an economic agenda. You need an economic platform. You need to learn how to manage money, and we need to do that well. We can't just be spending. We're in the nation of capitalism, so we must become capitalists in terms of understanding the economic system, how to use it and how not to abuse it, how to impact it so that you can build generational wealth. We're talking about economics here. We're talking about how to manage money, how to invest it, how to save it, how to spend it, and how you can use it to build generational wealth. Then there's the A. The A is simply athletics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, athletics, pulling back from the table, taking care of your health. Your health is your wealth, and you won't be around for the next generation if you don't take care of your health. We lead the league in health disparities. We lead the league in high blood pressure, hypertension, blah, 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 and la, la, la. We do. And so we have to take better care of ourselves. We have to push back from the table. We have to be careful of what we put in our bodies, but we also have to have a health, wellness, and fitness routine. That means we need to focus on developing our mental health as well. Taking care of our mental health is very, very important. We have to do that because we have to be prepared mentally, physically, emotionally, and socially to be able to engage, right, our communities, our young people. And we have to do a better job of teaching them how to eat, to live, taking care of ourselves. Now it's on to C. It's culture, relevant cultural programs, just like this one, to educate our people, giving our young people excellent cultural examples of our current history as well as our ancient past, of our great ancestry, right? And once we know that, for our young people, it's chin up, chest out, proud, and ready to go, ready to compete. We have to teach our kids how to compete. And how to be excellent at being their best selves. What's wrong with African-American kids being the best that they can be? Absolutely nothing. Last is E, and that's education. It's a comprehensive education. Not just going to school from K to 12 or not college, but a comprehensive education where we're teaching our young people and our adults and our parents to parent, right? We're teaching our, we're putting our people in place to engage properly, right? How to develop ourselves, how to help ourselves to recover from all of the things that we've gone through in this country, how we have had to overcome, right, the trauma and the abuse to become the best that we can be. So now we're on a different level now. We're changing it all now because we're saying no more for the old ways, and we're rebuilding ourselves one day at a time. So we're motivating ourselves, and we're inspiring ourselves to become the best that we could be. So go out, www.naaea, look at the tenants, right? Look at our goal, look at our missions, and join us wherever you are. You can do it right where you are, and that's the best part about it. And now for the Stan Macklin moment. Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
And so, brothers and sisters, it's so important to build institutions that define our own realities. It's so important to build institutions that our young people can develop and grow. Right. Again, we want to compete. We want to teach them. We want to train them. We want to develop them. We want to give them the upper hand. We want to give them the edge. But it starts with us. It starts with us learning and working together and building a foundation and tooling our kids, getting them ready for that next step. Right. We're preparing our next generation to strive and survive, but also to become great, using those great minds that they have to take us to the next level. And so that's what it's all about. So I'm going to go over now to Brother George. Brother George, I'm going to bring you in for the Willie Lynch Kwanzaa segment, and then we're going to get on with our show. And today, again, we're recapturing the African of Mind series. We're talking about culture and education. Today, we have two special guests, Brother Maliki and Brother Raphael. They'll be in just a minute, but over to Brother George. Oh, yeah.
Bring it! What?
We ride here.
We ain't going nowhere.
We ride here.
Oh, yeah. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Welcome. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to an exciting show today.
We got a good one.
For the Kwanzaa today, I'm going to go with the number one, Umoja, unity.
All right.
Strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. And I hope that that's going to connect up with the conversation that we have today with the two brothers. Now, with the Willie Lynch segment, I'm going to read out of a book that I've read out of before, but nonetheless, The Miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Woodson. And I'm reading out of the chapter that's entitled Failure to Learn to Make a Living. The Negro boy sent to college by a mechanic seldom dreams of learning mechanical engineering to build upon the foundation his father has laid, that in years to come, he may figure as a contractor or a consulting engineer. The Negro girl who goes to college hardly wants to return to her mother if she is a washwoman. But this girl should come back with sufficient knowledge of physics and chemistry and business administration to use her mother's work as a nucleus for a modern steam laundry. A white professor of a university recently resigned his position to become rich by running a laundry for Negroes in a southern city. A Negro college instructor would have considered such a suggestion an insult. The so-called education of Negro college graduates leads them to throw away opportunities which they have and to go in quest of those which they do not find. Now, I think that's going to be significant to the conversation that we have with the brothers today, because sometimes we're not able to see that when you create your own opportunity, you're going to make far more money than when you go to work for someone else and wind up with a bunch of disappointments when they don't promote you when you want to be promoted, and so on and so forth. You know, but brother, I want to get on with the show. So if you have anything for me, I'm here.
All right. Thank you, brother. I absolutely do. Yes. So we're going to be talking with the brothers today about organization building and the importance of doing that, right? Because what we're going to share with you all today is going to be an amazing show about some things that went on, some great community building and some great community organizing. So talk to us about how important community organizing is and how our listeners can benefit from this series today.
Well, the way that the listeners could benefit is, number one, we're setting forth to do the same thing. And I didn't mean to use the word try, because we're going to succeed. It's no question.
That's
once
right.
We get on the right path, then all you have to do is stay on the right path, and you're going to be successful. But a lot of times, like, we had the same question marks in our mind about whether or not we can succeed as a group. And so we brought these brothers here today who have accomplished the goal that we're headed towards. And so we're going to take their experience and share it with our listening audience and our supporters, so that when the time comes to receive that support, your mind will be more open to how to do it the right way, because that's the way that we're going to do it, brother.
All right. I like that, Brother George. So we're going to bring in now Brother Maliki Alawamba. Brother Maliki, bringing you in right now. How are you, sir? Welcome
I'm good,
to the show.
Brother. Peace and blessings, brothers and sisters.
Peace and blessings to you. How are you?
I'm good.
All right. Welcome to the show. So you have so much to share with us today. So I want to start with you sharing about the East, right? But tell us a little bit about yourself first, because I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited. Tell us about yourself, and then tell us about the East, and also your mentor, Brother G2.
Well, brother, I'm born and raised in Brooklyn, and at 14 years old, I was taken by a brother named Hodari. I grew up with a brother named Hodari and Shaka. We all both lived in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. Those brothers have transitioned to the ancestors, Hodari and Brother Shaka, who was part of the East organization. And Brother Hodari took me to meet Brother G2, who was a teacher in the New York City Board of Education system. And at that time, Brother G2 was running a summer program for a program in New York City called Youth in Action, which had summer jobs for our youth in Brooklyn. And he took me to that office, and then we went to another office that Brother Albert Van and G2 had, an office where they created the African American Teachers Association, which was an organization for black teachers in New York City. So now, Hodari, we now go to junior high school from public school. We're in junior high school now. Junior high school 271 in Ocean Hill, Brownsville. If you look at Eyes on the Prize, that piece is in there on education. And so now the New York City Public Schools decided that they were going to give the teachers a say in the education of of children in this area of Ocean Hill, Brownsville, Brooklyn. And so they set up a community board where the parents could participate and be part of the decision-making process in the education of their children. So during this process, Albert Van, who became an assemblyman in Brooklyn, was brought in. The community decided they was going to look over the situation, and now they're going to bring in some teachers. They're going to see who can work within the program they had, and they brought in Albert Van as a principal. So now the teachers in the community sat down and said, well, these teachers are going to work with what we're trying to do. Other teachers will not be working with what we want to do. And so therefore, we're going to bring in some new teachers and get rid of these teachers. Now, when they brought in these teachers, which majority was black, other white teachers were there also, they start teaching African history, which was very important to the young people in the school. No students were running around in the school, and it was very, the program was very successful. So now the Board of Education all of a sudden says, wait a minute, we don't want this program. We're going to take it back. And the community said, no, you're not getting anything back, and it was war. The community took control of the school. Now the police department is out there setting up a precinct, and it was war between the community and then and the police department and the Board of Education. So now, as we saw what was happening, that the intention of the Board of Education was really not to see the program succeed, we said, wait a minute, we need our own. And then G2AUC was transferred from a junior high school he was teaching at, Junior High School 35 in Brooklyn, and they sent him to our junior high school, 271 in Ocean Hill, Brownsville. And G2 now created the African American Students Association. G2 very well understood that if any change is going to take place in our community, young people had to be a major part of organizing and making that change happen. So as a result of creating the African American Students Association, now we're organizing in the high schools in New York City. We have a chapter in every high school in New York City,
wow,
demanding that we have African studies, that the parents are able to come in and look in the school anytime they want to come in. These are some of the demands that we were making. But as we saw what was happening in Ocean Hill, Brownsville, we said, wait a minute, we need our own. So what we did, we were working in the summer program. We put our money together, and we started to look for a building. We found a building that was a small warehouse, and we cleaned it out, and we fixed it up. And now we created an organization called the East with an independent black school called Uhuru Sasa and a cultural program with top jazz on the weekends.
All right. That's powerful. So we're going to get into so many things. So this is about culture and education. And so we know that Brother G2 was your mentor. So tell us a little bit about him, and then we're going to spin to a clip with this brother telling us about you all's platform.
Well, Brother G2 was a person, of course, you know, like I said, born in Bed-Stuy, but he was a person that just loved young people and understood, you know, what we were really about, that we really wanted to be around people who were sincere and honest and who could give us some identity, purpose, and direction. And us being young students at 14 years old, we were looking for people that had these values and quality, and Brother G2 was one of the persons who had it on the highest level.
All right. Thank you. So we're going to go to the clip now, and we'll be right back. This is Brother G2. This is around February 1979. Stay with us, y'all. This is really good stuff. Now, the clip is older, so just hang with us, but listen to what this brother is saying.
Bring it up, brother. Bring it up.
For a community, it provides a beacon light. It is a light in a community. I don't know. It's been a beautiful experience being out here in Nairobi, seeing, you know, nice green trees and clean streets and whatnot. But in my community, we live in a depressed community. The government is trying to run us out. Our community looks like World War II after the war without a Marshall Plan. You understand? Now, if it wasn't for the fact that our people could walk down the street and see some schools that were teaching our children, could see some stores that are operating in the interest of our people, could see some other kinds of institutions that are doing something, you see, what kind of hope would they have for the future? What kind of feeling would they have for the future? They would feel a sense. Institutions become a hope for our people. They become a light. True, it's a dim light because it's a small light. that's what we operate on. That's what our people operate on. Hope. We operate a grade on hope. Okay, what are some things that we have had as an experience in terms of building institutions? One, we know that every institution has to have a nucleus, a cadre, a committed core of individuals, a group of brothers and sisters who are welded together toward the development of that institution against all obstacles and against all opposition. See, these are brothers and sisters who come together regularly to study, to learn, to teach each other, to share experiences, who share similar values, who understand, who have a predictability of behavior, who understand that if one brother goes down this corner and goes that way, he's going to be over there in 10 minutes. See, this is the way this core of brothers and sisters who will develop the institution must feel about each other. So we must have a strong core, a strong nucleus. And if it takes time to develop that core or nucleus, sometimes it's necessary to do that. With our institution, it took us 2 years of struggle in the streets to develop the core of brothers and sisters who would then begin to found our institution. Secondly, every institution has to be committed to quality of service. I think one of the most outrageous things that I've seen about some of our institutions as I travel around the country is the way the low quality of service that we provide for our own people. See? How can we in any way feel any kind of inspiration or pride about ourselves if we provide a menial quality of service for our own people? As far as running a school, well, we want our students to be not only equal to the black students in the public school, we don't want this to be equal to the best in the country, you see? In other words, we have to set the highest standards for our service, the highest quality. We must make our institutions the best. That's our goal, to be the best, to be excellent. And we cannot let our goal fall below excellence. As far as I'm concerned, if you don't have a goal of excellence in terms of building an institution, then you shouldn't even get started.
All right. That's Brother G2. That's some powerful stuff about how to organize. Brother Maliki, you were there. Tell us
yes,
a little bit about how that was that he offered hope, or you all offered hope in the community. And then we're going to kind of spin it off and talk about what we all can do wherever we are to bring about this same level of change and hope into our communities.
Well, brother, the first thing we knew that we needed our own. We don't have our own institutions and stores in the community. So as young students, when we got this building, we knew, number one, that we had to clean it out, we had to fix it up, and now what kind of program are we going to present to the community? And the first program was, of course, the school, and then we went on to develop the cultural program, which was the jazz on weekends with top jazz artists. You know, I'm talking about Max Roach, Pharoah Sanders, Gary Bartz, Norman Connors, you name it. And then we start to look at other locations in the community that we could go and purchase and develop, which was a health food store. We developed a bookstore,
wow,
a clothing store. So at that point now, as young people, we had to be responsible to keep these businesses, to develop them and keep them growing, you know, and make them prosperous. And so as the community see these examples, they're like, hey, these people ain't playing. You know, now they're coming in and saying, what can we do to participate and get down with y'all and see what we could do to help y'all? So by example,
right.
And in Swahili,
right,
the word kazi means work, and we say kazi is the blackest of all.
I like that, brother. I like it. Brother George, do you have a question for Brother Maliki until we get to the next section?
At this point, no. I mean, I noticed that there was a great deal of sacrifice. And I think that that's something that all of us need to understand in the black community, that in order to be successful, we're going to have to sacrifice. our time, our money, our resources, and all of that. And I really, you know, feel so good about this conversation, you know. But I really, you know, would like to hear some from Brother Raphael, because he was the crux of the educational program, if I'm not.
I just want to say this, brother, that as you said, sacrifice, we were doing all this. We weren't getting paid. There you
right.
go.
Wow. All right, we're going to bring Brother Raphael in. Again, we're talking about the East, and we're talking about community organizing. Brother Raphael, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Welcome
peace
to
and
the show, brother.
To the family. I just want to make one correction. They said the educational part. No, I was a student. I was 15 years old. So,
okay.
I'm raised in Brooklyn, and I met G2 when I was 10 years old. He was my softball coach. And we called him Watusi Les. He was about 6'8", brother? About 6'8"?
Yeah.
Or 6'7"? 6'7"?
About 7,
okay.
7'8", somewhere around there.
Yeah, so what happened was he was a big inspiration on, you know, a little kid looking up to someone 6'7". And I guess they would think they would disrespect him by calling him Watusi Les. This is in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And I met him again during the Ocean Hill-Brownsville struggle. And my mother said, there's G2. And we came together. We were in the schools together, and they shut the schools down, and we opened the schools back up. And there was a cadre of people, of students. And I always mention this book, Young Activists, American High School Students in the Age of Protest by Gail Graham. Now, this lady points out that we, ASA, had organized and had a chapter in each New York City high school.
Wow.
Each New York City high school. And in the book, the principal stated that he was scared of us because we were conducting psychological warfare against the city and the government. 15-year-olds. Under
wow.
the leadership of G2 AUC. And it wasn't nothing mystical. We just weren't being fooled by things that they were given. So what happened was we were meeting at the African Teachers Association building. And Maliki came to me and said, Raphael, Black, we called him Black because, you know, those who were very close to him, you know, some people have many names. So those, you know, we say G2 Weyusi, the teachers who knew him called him Les Campbell, we called him G2 Weyusi, and Black. But me, Maliki, and a few of the others, Hodari, we called him Black. He said, look, Black got us a building. And we went around, he said, it's $22,000. Maliki took me around the corner to see the building. I almost fainted. It was a piece of junk. And I said to
wow.
myself, Black got gypped. That next, I think that weekend, we put on our boots, our paint. We cleaned that building up, made it look like new, and we started the program right there. Now, again, nobody was getting paid. We have 14 to 18-year-olds.
Wow.
And the thing is, we used a model, and I'm going to use two people. We used the Booker T. Washington, Elijah Muhammad, Garvey model.
Okay.
Service. Make your place clean. Smile when people come in. Help them out. So we were that component in the community. We didn't have to go around talking. We just did it. We saw a sister coming home with groceries. Hey, look, so-and-so, help. Oh, you know, who are y'all? We the African Student Association. We had little buttons and shields, and little green shields. And we were deep into the community. There was no separation between us and the community. The church folks loved us. The Muslim folks loved us. Everybody had a deep respect for us, because we weren't running around talking stuff. We were making, we were having a bookstore, a health food store. We had entertainment for them, and not heavy on the ideology. People can see that these are a different type of young people. These are a different type of
wow.
young people. We're not badgering anybody. Well, you still eating pork, you still drinking wine, so on, so on, so on. No, brother, we're going to help you.
All
you
right.
Can I hold you up for a minute?
Okay, Maliki, do you want us to jump in?
No, I'm just, Raphael ran it down. I'm just saying
okay.
that, you know, when you show them what you can do and what you're about on a high level of respect, you know what I'm saying? They see that you're respectful the way you carry yourself. You're an example for what you want them to be an example of. Then they can respect you. You know, when you show self, because when you got self-respect, you can respect other people. But if you don't have no
right.
self-respect, you can't respect nobody else.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
That's right.
Amen to that.
Can
All
I
right. So one of the things that Brother G2 mentioned was it gave you all identity, purpose, and direction. Before we go to the next clip, can y'all talk about that identity, purpose, and direction that this organization and being a part of it gave you?
Well, identity, of course, you know, if what's important today with young people is that if we don't have an education of our history, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If we don't understand the greatness of our empire, look, Europe was nothing. You know what I'm saying? Africa was doing scientific technology that Europe couldn't even imagine. And so as young people, when we don't understand the greatness, you know, of what we were and what we can be, we will never become it. So when we get that history of what we were, where we come from, and how great we were, now we see the potential. Now we get it. Hey, look what we were. Why are we out here in the street doing all this madness, this killing, the addiction, et cetera? Let's go and do something positive for ourselves, for our community, for our people. That's the identity purpose.
Yes, sir.
I like that. I like that a whole lot. Raphael, you want to add anything before we go to the clip?
One of the things that we did not separate ourselves from the community. You know, my name's Raphael. My childhood name and my street name is Ray. So it, whatever, sometimes when someone calls you by one name, that ain't my name anymore, so-and-so-and-so. Hey, look, it was both. And a lot of times if we separate ourselves from the people, they feel that. Oh, he used to go to Baptist, you know, he used to go to so and so Baptist church. You that is, yes, ma'am, I still go to church, so and so and so, but I'm still with the ASA. Okay, he's a good. You know, we didn't put ourselves above folks. Does that make sense? We would come to street venues and things like that. And, oh yeah, those are the ASA. Hey, how y'all doing? So and so and so. You want a piece of chicken? Being seamless. See, we studied Kwame Nkrumah, guerrilla warfare. You got to be like a fish with the people. You can't stand. The only thing that's going to make you stand out is your character and what you do.
Right.
Not what you wear and how loud you talk. It's, hey, look, we see that young man. He's straightening up. He's cleaning up. Somebody broke a bottle. He's cleaning it up. Boy, that man, them young people from the East, they're all right.
Because this was a period where, you know, as you're developing your program, you're getting people from the community, and it was a period where you had their leaders saying, you know, hey, you ain't got an afro, you ain't wearing a dashiki, you're not, you know, you're not with it. No, we said it's not what's on your head, it's what's in it.
It's what's in your head.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We had people with wigs, smoke cigarettes, you know what I mean? It was like, all right.
All right, well, you're listening live to the Empowerment Hour. Brother Maliki and Brother Raphael is telling the story like it is, and we're going to go back to the clip for just a minute. And get ready, we're going to the line soon, 845-277-9250. We'll be right back in just a second.
You start on the wrong road already. Thirdly, We have to be concerned about economics. Many of our people, you know, they have a funny feeling about economics. People don't like to have their money ripped off. I went to a meeting, right, about 2 weeks ago, and some of the people were trying to organize against the poverty programs being wiped out. And they couldn't organize the people. And I couldn't understand it because I had no history of working with them. But I couldn't understand it. So I went outside of the hall, and I asked the sister, I said, well, you know, the programs are going to be wiped out. Why aren't you all down with the organization? She said, the last time we got involved in this, we put in $12,000. Somebody stole the money and went away. That turns people off, right? Your economic records must be impeccable. You have to be able to go and say, here are the records. Here's where your money went. This is what your money was in for. Here's where it went. Here's how it was spent. You have to be economically accountable, something which has not been, you know, for us, a reality, you know.
Oh, let's stop it right there. Brother talked about accountability, particularly economically and fiscally sound in our action. Can you talk a little bit about that, Brother Maliki, and what that meant to you?
Well, what that meant is that when you get these businesses and you have transactions happening, people are coming to support you and buy from your business because it's it was a black business and we were going to support the community. That means that when other people come to you also in the community, the churches, the community organizations say, look, we have this going on. Would you please contribute and support us? Of course, 100%. We would not only support you, when is it taking place? We will be down there. What do you need? You need chairs. You need tables. You need some transportation. What do you need? You understand what I'm saying? So that helps not only to build what we're doing, but it helps other people in the community to build what they're doing. And they see that you're not just in a corner looking to say, hey, see what we're doing. No, you're coming out to help and do whatever is necessary to build an organization and a community program to help everyone, you know. And like Raphael was pointing out, we relate it to everyone, every organization, the Muslims, the Hebrews, the Rastas. Everybody knew that if they was in trouble or they needed anything, they could come to the East. So therefore now, one of the other components, the bookstore, now we're selling books. Now also with the health food store, we got herbs. We got all the good foods for your diet, okay? And one of the greatest parts also was the music on the weekends. Now, not only are we providing entertainment for the community, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to go miles sometimes to go and see a concert right in the heart of the neighborhood down the block. We are providing top entertainment, and the entertainment was so great, it went out like fire to the musicians. You got to go see what these young kids are doing. So any weekend, if we had Norman Connors, in the back would be sitting Gil Scott-Heron checking it out. I don't believe this. I got to see what they're doing. So that's how the economic development started with the East, is that we're looking at properties. We're saying, hey, this place down here look like it's empty. We need to go check that out. We go check it out. It's available. We get it. And now what do we have? We got a clothing store. And also, one of the entities was very important as a communication organ. We created our own newspaper called Black News. And now we're on the corners. We're out on the main corners, Nostrand and Footwell, main corner, where you got people, thousands of people passing every minute, every hour, and we're out there with the newspapers, and now they're able to get the information that's going on in the community.
I like that. I like it. You see, it's self-sufficiency. So the brothers and sisters, and we're talking about from 14 to 18-year-olds, right, organizing in their own communities. So
that's
if we work together, things can be done. Things can be done. Before we go to the lines, Brother Raphael, did you want to add anything? I'm going to open the lines up for questions for the brothers. Again, they have organized. They've been there. They've done it. And they have some great names that they can share with you as we go along that have really contributed to the process as well. Brother Raphael.
It all came out of our pockets. We didn't get a nickel from anywhere but the people. All of that. When
I
we
heard
brought
that.
Farrell Saunders in, we paid for it. We brought Max Roach in, we paid for it.
Mm.
14 to 18-year-olds.
Right.
Okay, you go
That's
to
the powerful. All right, all right. We're going to go to the lines. We're going to have our first caller, 0673. You're on Empowerment Hour. You're live with Brother Raphael and Brother Maliki and also Brother George. Do you have a question or comment for the brothers?
Well, I just want to listen, brother, because I sometimes you just got to listen. It's one of those days I just want to listen.
All right, thank you.
All right.
All right, I'm going over to 0946. 0946, we got Brother Raphael and Brother Maliki on the line. Do you have a question or comment for them?
Yes, I do. I really enjoyed listening to what you guys were saying as far as the unity. Going forward, what strategies are we needing now to kind of duplicate what you guys did back in the past? And what type of challenges or hindrances are you guys running into, if any? Because you may not be running into any. So that's my question.
Well, there's many challenges now, especially with COVID happening and the economics. You know, a lot of, for instance, like the South, you know, they like to control everything with economics. You know, they still got those $7-hour jobs down there. So what we have to do now, I think, is we got to go to all of the churches and the community organizations, and we
all
now
right.
have to develop a way to provide some jobs for our young people. The guns, all of that stuff is going on. I'm living in South Jersey. I'm looking at the TV in Philadelphia every day. Shooting, shooting, shooting. Every time I see a news clip saying a shooting, I want to see advertisements saying we got jobs. We got carpentry. We got plumbing. We got electricians.
That's right.
That's what I want to see. That's what we need right now. We need some jobs for people. And all of this money that they talk about, billions coming into our communities, create some jobs. I don't want to hear people talk about we got a program for guns. Let me see some jobs being developed for young people in our community. Because when we were coming up, those summer jobs were $38 a week. And that money provided us to buy our own clothes. We didn't have to bother our parents for nothing. We took that little $38. It made us responsible in terms of getting up to go to work, okay, in terms of having a job, in terms of handling money and helping the family. So this is what we need for. We need, and it's got to be the young people. It's got to be the young people involved. The old people keep giving you the same. Oh, we can't do that. We can't do this. Get out there, meet people, talk to people, even the senior in the senior programs, any kind of program that's in that community, go and talk to them and make some connection with them and see what you can do together. And look in that community and see what's needed. What do you need? We need a drive for food. We need some extra education for the young people after school. What do we need? And let's try to step up and provide that.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. I like that. Yeah. Thank you. Sure. Sister Brother George, you have anything you want to add?
No, sir. I mean, it's going along smooth. I love it.
I like it. I like it. You brothers excite me because we're here trying to build this network, right? And so the foundation has been laid so many years ago, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. But you guys mentioned one thing. You said the Nation of Islam model and the Booker T model. Can each of you or individually discuss those models and how you guys use that to move forward with your mission?
Okay, I'll take – see, what Booker T, if you read Up From Slavery, that's the key. For me, because Garvey read that, and that's what brought Garvey to America. And Garvey's program was taken over; it morphed into the Nation of Islam. And you remember, the brothers are very respectful, keeping their place clean, and things like that. And that's what we were doing. In terms of today, I think that we have to go after the young people, not. In the sense, a lot of us don't know what young people are thinking. We think that young people think the way we think. So So when we go in and talk to the young people, go in, I go to church and I talk to young people about their educational challenges. And then I look around the church, and almost everybody in there is either a teacher or a retired teacher. I said, so we should not have a problem taking tests. Open up something after school to help our, but the thing is, a lot of times we're so, like people my age, and I talk to people my age, we're so disconnected from the youth. We don't know what they listen to. Well, I don't like the music that they listen to. So what? Our parents probably didn't like the music we listened to. But you got to know what it is. And it says, okay, that's your music, but I can help you with your math. I'm not judging you by the way you wear your hair or where your pants are sagging. That's not my concern at this time. You know what I mean? That's not my concern. To get you up to speed so you can compete. But if I'm beating you over the head, man, look at that hair. Look crazy. Look at them pants. Man, our people better stop doing this. Our people better stop. If we beat them over the head, they go the other way. Most people with children know that. They're not going to listen to you. But if you come in and say, look, bro, what you need? Well, I need help in reading. Okay, we're going to get down with this reading. You're not worried about my hair? Okay. You're not worried that I smell a smoke? No. I want to get you to where you're going.
I don't care that I'm eating pork.
I don't care. I do care, but that's not my concern. My concern is getting you to where you need to be. The young people, that's what I focus in on. Me, I usually don't deal with the people my age and because they're locked in their mindset. Well, these kids got to do this, and they listen to this, and they this. So what? So what? That's their time. Sometimes I look back at my kids, look back to my photo album, and they laugh at me. They said, Dad, look at that afro. It's all lopsided. Look at those polyester pants. Look at those bell bottoms. And I want to cry. I'm going to say, but I thought I was looking cool. And I tell the kids, I said, well, look. Your kids are going to look at you like you're crazy. So I'm not even worried about it. So the thing is, get the young people. Go after the – and not to try to change them, to get to know who they are, what they're about, and how you can work with them.
So when we talk about the nation, we were always very connected with the nation. I mean, I know brothers that were captains and lieutenants in FOI, and we always stayed in contact. Some of them left the organization. Some of them came in the organization. You know what I'm saying? There was a brother named Hamza who was part of the nation that created the African-American Policemen's Association. You see what I'm saying? So the nation was all about self-sufficiency and doing for self, of course. So we would, at the festival thing that we do, had a brother with a table next to us that had selling bean pies and stuff. He got next to us, and all the people coming to the table, we're talking to him. They said, brother, next year, let us have our table next to y'all. You see, because I'm telling them, hey, check them bean pies out. They're great. But here's another story. Mos Def was performing at Restoration in Bedford-Stuyvesant. And I happened to be able to get backstage. And he was walking up on the stage. And before he got up there, I said, brother, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about getting you together with some of the jazz musicians. He said, brother, let's talk when I finish. When he finished, I went to talk to his mother, stepped up and said, oh, we know the East. Here's my number. You see what I'm saying? So don't think people are not approachable. We got to talk to the artists. We got to talk to the musicians, all of these people that are in the community, because they understand their role in the struggle of our people. Let's talk to them and get them involved and say, look, this is what we're trying to do. Can you come and help us? And they will help as long as they know that you're sincere about what you're trying to do.
I like that, and that's so true. So we're talking about organizing for our community.
Let me throw in this. The preachers.
Okay.
Black church, we were intricately entwined with them. The preachers used to come out to our stuff. The Mighty Clouds of Church, we were not exclusive. you know, we were not exclusive. They would come, Milton Glamison, a lot of these big preachers in New York. They were very supportive of us. You know, very supportive of church people, Muslim people.
And by the way, we grew up with Al Sharpton. He's from Brooklyn.
All right.
Okay? We was all in the church basement having a meeting, and he probably was trying to figure out what he wanted to do at that time. He was a teenager. So,
and another one,
prop
this one, Stephanie Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Mills and Iyanla Van Zandt was a part of our organization. She was in there cleaning. She was there in the beginning. In the beginning with us. We all grew up together.
All right,
so
we got two powerful brothers
on the
line.
That when you can be involved, where you can come from, and if what you're doing is real, as G2 taught us, you could take it anywhere you go.
All right, shout out to Brother G2. We got Brother Maliki and Brother Raphael on the line. We're going back to the lines now. 4679, you're live on the Empowerment Hour with Brother Maliki and Brother Raphael. Do you have a question or comment?
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes,
I hear.
You're live.
Oh, okay, hi. I'm Quirley Campbell. I'm actually a daughter of D2BUC. I'm just tuning in to support Baba Maliki and
welcome
Baba
to the
Raphael.
Show, sister.
Thank you. I'm appreciative
of
everything.
Tell us a little bit. Give us the essence. This is your dad, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
But
tell
wait a minute. He was our father before he was your father. Go ahead.
Constantly reminded. He was a community father. I had to share him with the community. I had to learn at a very young age. And that's okay. As I constantly am impressed and inspired by his legacy, it's become more and more okay to have shared him with so many and to see the impact that he's left on so many lives and institutions. So, yeah.
And your mother. Don't forget Amanisha, mother.
Right.
I can't throw that.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
No,
blessings to the queen.
Without Amanisha.
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
thank you
for calling, sister. We appreciate you. Join us.
Absolutely.
Again, we're trying to build a network similar to what your father did, but around the country that we can motivate and inspire. We're talking about organizing for communities, right? But especially developing our young people. We're talking about 14-year-olds and 18-year-olds working together, right? So they need us right now, just like what we talked about earlier in terms of creating identity and purpose and direction. So we have to do that for them. And this is an excellent example and an excellent show where we have people who've done it. And we're bringing them live to you right now so they could tell the story. And sister, your dad is, I watched the video and I heard so much. And we've been able to study and research some of the literature that were put together during that time. And absolutely great work. So thank you so much for calling. Make sure you get in touch with me after the show, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
show.
You, sister. All right. Thank you. All right. We're going down to 911-9116 real quick, and then we'll go back to the line. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to make a comment right quick. We're going to have the brothers back in the weeks to come individually. So if they're not able to cover all of your questions, we will have them back. So I just wanted to let the listening audience know that. Okay, Mom.
All right.
Back to you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right, we're going down to 9116. I'm trying to get everybody in before the show ends today. 9116, you're live on the Empowerment Hour with Brother Maliki and Brother Raphael talking about community building. You have a question or comment?
I just want to say I like the mutual approach that I think can be utilized, but I also wanted to ask, are you still currently in operation? Are you still currently doing things in the community? Like the things you were doing there, is it still under operation?
Yes. One of the outgrowths of the organization is the International African Arts Festival that takes place downtown Brooklyn every July 4th for about 3-4 days. that's one of the big things. Matter of fact, what you see New Orleans doing, they came and saw what we were doing, and they took it and ran with it. So as we're talking about the many programs that we developed at the East, we want everybody to, you know, get involved and develop those things in their community, the bookstore, your newspaper, your food store, your clothing store. This will help to develop the economics in the community at this time when, you know, financial situations are very difficult at this point. So that's something that, you know, we think is important. Like I said, just get with people. Also, let me say this. There was a book put in my hand at 14 years old called Malcolm X on African American History, and I've never been the same since. So all you parents, all you teachers, get those, a copy of that book in young people's hand so that they can understand how great we were and how great we need to be to continue to do what we need to do.
I'm going
I
over to
throw
9282.
In, I think he's probably overlooking this, the aspect of audio, visual, and media. Maliki has worked on major motion pictures. He's done sound technicians. And these are things when we see DJs at block parties, incorporate them.
Yes.
Because mostly every place that Maliki goes, or every place we went, let's say if a church was doing something and they didn't have an audio system, boom, there was Maliki.
All right.
So it was a block party, boom, there's Maliki. You know, and everybody knows,
all right,
music, go to Maliki. So these are
all
things,
right,
that
I'm
you can
try
do. You know, that's very,
to,
you know.
I want to try to get another call in before,
sure,
before we get off, if y'all don't mind.
No problem.
Let me see. The board has switched on me. I'm going over to, I know I saw Dr. Bruce's number in here, I believe. Let's see if we could get him in real quick. 5972. 5972. You are live with Brother Raphael and Brother Maliki. 5972 going once. Going twice. All right. So we got about 2 minutes left in the show. It's been a great, great conversation. Thank you all for listening and joining us again. It's been a wealth of knowledge provided us here today. And we just want to wrap it up. So any final statements or final comments, we're going to bring the brothers back separately to do their own individual show on culture and education. So I'll start with you, Brother Maliki. Any last comments or words you want to say before we end up the show?
I just want to say that, like I said, that, you know, let's you know, as a people, try to provide the love and respect that we need for each other. You know, there may have been situations that we've dealt with that have been very uncomfortable with each other, but let's come together. Unity. You know, every other race can come together and accomplish things. Let's do the same.
All right, thank you, sir. Brother Raphael, final comment.
I'd like to just throw this thing and say, we're the only people. Let's move out of that mode. There are 120 million black people in Brazil, almost 200 million black people in Nigeria, around the world, Peru, Mexico, Colombia, Venezuela. We have to internationalize our thinking. Because if we're locked in our little neighborhoods, we're going nowhere. And this is what the power of the East was. We were global. They sent Maliki to Trinidad. We set up some things in South America, Guyana, Africa. We were all over where black people are. We just weren't confined to Brooklyn. And that's
right.
The, you know, the globalness, the thinking that we, because we've got the internet, we've got all of this stuff that we can talk.
Brother Raphael, I got to cut you there. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so much, brothers, for calling. Thank you, Brother George, and all of the callers. We'll be back with Dr. Bruce next week for our series of Recapturing the African Mind. Continue to join us. Share the show with somebody and become the best person that you could be today and every day. Peace and blessings, brothers and sisters.
Peace.
Without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peace and calm when I'm laid to my rest.
Peace and quietness you're sure to find,
and the world will be better for this. That one man scorned and covered with God still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach, oh, to reach the unreachable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh.